folds. It's meant to create peace and balance and add to the power of the Alpha. My father, he was Abel Bennett's witch, Thomas's father. The Bennett pack was bigger then, stronger, revered, and feared. What happened? I asked quietly. He lost his tether, Gordo said. He chuckled bitterly. Your mother? No. Another woman. She... It doesn't matter. She died. Werewolf. My father killed many people after that. I felt numb. I took his place, Gordo said. I was 12. Gordo, I wasn't ready for the responsibility. I made mistakes. My father disappeared. Fuck knows if he's even still alive. But I had a home, a place. Gordo? What? I'm your tether. Yeah? Who was your tether before me? It doesn't matter. He looked away. But of course it did. How long? Jesus Christ, how long were you without a tether? I didn't think he'd answer. But then he said, years. You fucking asshole, I said hoarsely. Why didn't you ask me? I didn't think. No shit, you didn't think. You could have gotten hurt. He lit his cigarette, inhaled deeply, blew out the smoke. I had it under control. Fuck you and your control. His eyes snapped to mine. Just because you're in this now doesn't mean you know shit about it, Ox. Don't forget, I've had a lifetime of all of this. You're a fucking child. I pulled myself to my full height. A child who is part of the Bennett Pack and tethered to you and Joe. He watched me, a strange expression on his face. Shit, he muttered. Ox, don't. Never again. You hear me? You don't keep shit from me ever again. Ox, Gordo. Jesus, kid. You're fucking scary sometimes. You know that, right? A bit of alpha in you. I said nothing, just glared at him. He sighed. All right. Who was it? Smoke curled up around his face, and he said, Mark. Okay, it was Mark. I loved him. I loved him, and he left, and I stayed. And until I found you, I was lost in the dark. You brought me back, Ox. You brought me back, and I can't lose you. I can't. The others didn't know. Tanner, Rico, Chris. Gordo said it was better that way. Sometimes, I didn't think Gordo even believed his own lies. School started. My senior year. The horn honked outside. I opened the door. Joe's smile was bright and blinding as he waved at me from the back seat. He said, Hey, Ox, now I get to be like you guys. Time for school, yeah? Back in the woods after asking if I wanted to be a wolf, Thomas said, Tethers are important, Ox, especially when they're people. If it was an emotion, it'd have to be all-encompassing, and that usually only happens with rage and hate, and it turns and twists until the tether is black and burnt. When the tether is a pack, it's spread out amongst all members, and everyone carries the weight of the burden. And if it's just one person? I asked. A breeze blew through my hair, and I closed my eyes. If it's one person, Thomas said quietly, then that person is treated as precious. But it'll become possessive. It's just the way it is. It's one of the most important things there is to a wolf. What's your tether? I asked. As soon as the words came out of my mouth, I wanted to take them back. It felt like a deeply personal question that I had no right to ask. But he said, Pack. It's always been my pack. Not the individuals, per se, but the idea behind what pack means. Family, I said. Yes, and so much more. It can be harder when it's individuals. What if I'm tied to two people? He frowned. We'll see, won't we? There's a third Bennett brother, the people in the hallway whispered. He looks just like the others, Why are they still with Ox? We needed a bigger lunch table. Or maybe just a bigger bench. I was surrounded by Bennetts. Kelly on my left, Joe on my right, Carter on the other side of him. They'd herded me to one side of the table, pressing in as close together as they could, Joe talking about this and that and everything he could even possibly think about. Jesse looked amused, sitting across from us. I thought there was something else buried in that smile, too, but I couldn't figure out what it was. I'm sure to anybody else in the cafeteria, it looked odd, the four of us and her. I didn't care. Joe talked and talked and talked. To me, to Carter, to Kelly. Never to Jesse. He gave me an apple slice. I gave him some potato chips. He said quietly, "I'm happy I'm here. With you." I said, "Me too." "Did you love him?" I asked Mark one fall afternoon. "Who?" "Gordo," he said, "don't," and walked away. I didn't follow. I made Gordo drop the wards around the house, and the Bennetts came over for dinner at our house one Sunday. At first he refused. "It's not safe," I said. "I belong to a pack of overprotective werewolves who live next door. I'm pretty sure I couldn't be safer." "Christ," he muttered. "Remember when you didn't say that much at all? Those were the good old days." That hurt. More than I thought it would. I must not have been able to keep it from my face because he sighed and said, "Ox." "Yeah?" I looked down at my shoes. I knew I didn't always say the best things or the smartest things, but I thought I'd been getting better. I was trying. His hand curled around the back of my neck, and there was a pulse of something between us. It wasn't as strong as it was with Joe or the pack, but it was there, and it was warm and kind, and it felt like home. "I'm sorry," he said quietly. "I know," I said, trying to brush it off. "It's okay." His fingers tightened. "No," he said, "it's not okay. No one should ever make you feel like shit, especially me. It's unacceptable." "I know. I'll be better, okay? I'm not the best, I know, but I'll do right by you. I swear." "I know." He squeezed my neck and dropped his hand. "I won't drop the wards," he said. "Not completely. I'll modify them, though, for Joe, Carter, and Kelly. And the rest of the pack," I said. He looked away. "Yeah, Ox. For the rest, too." We were having Sunday dinner for the first time at my house. Mom was very nervous. She flitted about in the kitchen like a little bird. I asked her why, and she said, "They're just so fancy. We're not fancy people, Ox. They don't care about stuff like that." "I know." "You look pretty," I said. And she did. She always did. Even when she was tired. Even when she was sad. She laughed and said, "Hush, you." She swatted me with a dish towel and told me to make the salad while she checked on the lasagna. Joe was the first through the door. His eyes darted around, taking in everything as quickly as he could. His chest heaved, breathing in as much as possible. His eyes were wide, almost blown out. "Joe," Thomas said, coming up behind him, "calm, even breaths." I could hear the command in his voice, one that sent shivers along my skin. It was easier now to hear it for what it was, the alpha. I wasn't a wolf, but I still wanted to bare my neck to him. "It's a lot," Joe said quietly, trying to slow his breathing, "all at once." I didn't understand, but I thought I wasn't meant to. Elizabeth came in, followed by Carter, Kelly, and Mark. Mom chattered away, her nerves showing through in the up-and-down cadence of her voice. Either she didn't notice, or chose not to question, when the Bennetts touched almost everything in sight, dragging their hands along the couch, the dining room table, the chairs, the countertops. Carter and Kelly sprawled along chairs at the table, spreading themselves out as far as possible. I knew what they were doing. They were making this place smell like them, like pack. Scents were important. They didn't want it to be just me and Mom. They needed to be mixed in, too. I hugged each of them in turn. Carter and Kelly rubbed their noses against my neck. Joe took my hand. "Your room," he said. "I want to see your room." He pulled me up the stairs without waiting for an answer. I didn't even need to tell him where to go. He held out his other hand and let his fingers drift along the walls, head darting from side to side. He growled lowly for a brief moment, and his hand tightened in mine. I didn't ask what it was. I didn't know if I wanted to know. But then we were in my room, and he was all over. He didn't stand in one place for more than a second, and he touched everything he could get his hands on. He muttered to himself, saying, "It's strong in here. So strong, strong, strong," and, "I can cover it up. I can make it go away," and, "Mine, mine, mine." I let him. I let him do what he needed to do. And then he stopped in front of my desk, sucked in a sharp breath. "Joe?" I asked, taking a step from the doorway.
"You kept it."
"What?" He didn't answer. I stepped up behind him. He was getting taller. The top of his head reached the middle of my chest. I felt a pang of something bittersweet. I didn't know why. And then I saw what he was looking at. The little wolf made of stone. I was confused. "Yeah? Why wouldn't I?"
"Ox,"
he said in a choked voice. I looked down. His hands were curling into the desk, leaving little claw marks, scoring the wood. His eyes flashed orange, and I said, "Hey." I put my hand on his shoulder, and it was there again, that warmth, like it had been with Gordo. But if Gordo had felt like a warm fire, then the pulse, the pull with Joe, felt like the sun. He sighed, and the claws pulled back and away.
"I like your room," he said quietly. "It's just like I thought it would be. Cluttered and clean."
"Pine cones and candy canes?" I asked him. He smiled.
"And epic and awesome."
He touched the stone wolf once, just the tip of his finger to its head, and that sun between us burned so very, very bright. Chapter 10. A Wolf Thing. We're Alone. They trained, the werewolves, the pack. They moved in and out of the trees quickly and quietly. They tracked me through the woods while I attempted to throw them off my trail. Thomas said, "Attack," and their claws would come out, and he would feint left and right and up and down. I asked him once why we trained like we did.
"We have to be ready," he said.
"For what?" He put a hand on my shoulder.
"To protect what's ours."
"From what?"
"Anything that could take our pack or territory away."
His eyes flashed red. A chill went down my spine. I trained harder.
"Merry Christmas, Ox."
Joe grinned when I hugged him close, my chin on the top of his head.
"You're different," Gordo said, taking a drag from his cigarette.
"Oh?"
"You move differently," he clarified.
"Maybe I'm just growing up."
"It's more
confidence. You hold yourself higher.
It's a wolf thing."
"You're not a wolf."
"Close enough."
His eyes narrowed.
"He did it, didn't he?"
"Who?"
"Thomas. He offered you the bite."
I heard Rico cackle loudly from back in the shop. Tanner and Chris yelled something in return.
"Yeah," I said.
"Ox," he warned.
"My decision," I said. "He wouldn't do it until I turned 18, but it's still my decision. Just..."
"Fuck." Gordo was upset. "Just think of the consequences. You'll be hunted for the rest of your life. There are things out there. Monsters and people who want nothing more than your head on a pike."
"Because I'd be a wolf?" I asked. "Or because I'm already part of a pack?"
"Shit," he muttered. "Or maybe because I'm tethered to a witch. I told you, I'm not a kid anymore, Gordo." His voice cracked when he said,
But you're all I have. Good, I said. Then you know I'm never walking away from you. From this. He closed his eyes and took a deep breath. You turned it down, I said, going off a hunch. The bite. You said no. His eyes opened slowly. Easiest decision I've ever had to make. We both knew that was a lie. I didn't tell him that I decided to remain human. For now. Mom said, Jesse came by the diner today. I looked back down at my math homework. I didn't think I was doing it right. Said she hadn't really seen you for a few days. Been busy, I muttered. Homework, work, full moon with werewolves.
Priorities, Ox. They're good to have, but don't forget the good things.
Running with wolves was the greatest thing. A dark pulse in the sun between Joe and me. I snapped my head up from the desk in history class. I was up and out the classroom door before I even knew I was moving. I thought, Joe, safe, Joe, find Joe. Two other pulses, brief flares of light. Carter and Kelly. And I thought, pack. There was anger in the sun. It was contained, but it was going to break. I knew, though I didn't know how. Men's room, hallway. I pushed open the door. Joe, pressed up against the wall, his bag at his feet torn open, pencils and papers across the floor. Three guys around him. One held him against the wall, his forearm pressed against the neck. I recognized them vaguely through the descending red haze. Sophomores. Assholes. Joe wasn't scared, at least not completely. I swore I could hear the quick but steady beat of his heart. He wasn't fighting back, because he knew he was about to wolf out. Then he saw me. His eyes widened, and the sun exploded. I took the one that held him against the wall first, grabbed him by the back of the neck and jerked him away. He said, "What?" And then he couldn't speak at all, because he was on the floor, my knee on his chest, hands around his throat. His eyes went wide as I snarled and bared my teeth in his face. The other two grabbed me by the shoulders and arms to try and pull me off, but I remembered my training, and Thomas saying, keep calm and maintain control. I let them pull me up. I used the momentum and brought my knee into the stomach of the guy on my right and elbowed the guy on my left in the face. One bent over, struggling to breathe. The other cried out, a flash of crimson between his fingers. I stepped back, pushing Joe behind me. His hands fisted my shirt and he pressed his forehead to my back. Carter and Kelly burst into the room, eyes flaring. They surveyed the room. Something settled in me when they looked satisfied with what they found. Not surprised, satisfied, like they knew I could handle this. So, Carter said, your names? Fuck you, the guy with the bloody nose said. Wrong answer, I said, as Kelly moved toward them. Names, Carter snapped. Blood Nose said, Henry. The guy with hands on his stomach yelled, Tyler. The guy still on the floor said, go to hell. Carter picked him up by his throat and held him up. His feet left the floor as he kicked. Carter was close, but he was still in control. Your name. Dex, the guy choked out. You got them? Carter asked Kelly. Kelly nodded as he breathed in. Henry, Tyler, Dex. I got them. Their sense. If you ever come near my brother again, I'll kill you, Carter said. Every one of you. And if I can't, Kelly will. And if he can't, God help you when Ox gets his hands on you. He threw Dex to the ground. Dex cried out as he landed on his side. Carter and Kelly stepped over him. The other two flinched away from them. They came and stood by my side, blocking Joe in. Kelly put a hand on my arm. Carter's shoulder pressed against mine. Henry was the first to run. Then Tyler. Dex sneered, but it was a coward sneer that stuttered and broke. He ran too. I burned like the sun. The principal looked at us. Me, my mom, all the Bennets. 5 days suspension, he said. Carter, Kelly, and I said nothing, as we'd been instructed.
5 days, my mother said. And the three that started this?
They are being dealt with, the principal said. I could see the thin film of sweat on his forehead.
Are they? Elizabeth said. I should hope so, after they pinned my 12-year-old son to the wall.
And Ox broke a kid's nose, the principal said. He's lucky no charges are being filed against him.
Yes, Elizabeth said. Quite lucky. Though if there had been charges, I'm sure we could have found some of our own.
The principal wiped his brow. Mark, Thomas said in a light tone.
Yes.
How much money were we set to donate to the Green Creek School District this year?
$25,000.
Ah, thank you, Mark.
You're most welcome.
Now, Mr. Bennett, the principal said, I'm sure we can...
I'm done speaking with you, Thomas said. Your presence bothers me. Come along, everyone. It's time to leave.
Thomas and Elizabeth led me away from the others.
You protected your own, Thomas said, eyes flashing red. I am so very proud of you.
He was my alpha, and my skin thrummed with his words. I tilted my head back, baring my throat to him. He reached out and touched my neck gently. Elizabeth held me close. The suspension was lifted suddenly and without warning.
I could handle myself, Joe grumbled as we walked down the dirt road.
I know, I said.
I could have taken them all down.
I know.
I'm not some little kid,
I said. I know. He scowled.
Say something else.
I'm glad I could protect you, I said honestly. And I always will. He stared up at me with those big blue eyes. Then he blushed. It started at his throat and rose up through his face. He looked away, kicked the dirt. I waited until he could make up his mind. Eventually, he grabbed my hand, and we continued on down the road.
Another argument.
They're my family, I snapped at her. Jessie's face was flushed, her eyes bright.
I get that, she said.
Her voice was hard.
Even if I don't fully understand their weird fascination with you.
It's not weird.
Ox, she said. It's kind of weird. Like, are they some kind of cult or what?
Knock it off, Jessie. You don't get to talk about them like that. They've never had a single bad thing to say about you, so don't you talk about them that way.
Except for Joe, she muttered.
What?
She looked up from her spot on my bed. I said except for Joe. He doesn't like me.
I laughed. That's not true.
Ox, it is. Why can't you see it? Why are you so blind when it comes to him?
You leave him out of this, I said, my voice starting to rise.
She looked frustrated. I'm just asking to be a part of your life, Ox. You blow me off. You keep things from me. I know something is going on. Why can't you trust me?
I said, I do. Though it almost felt like a lie. She smiled, but it didn't quite reach her eyes. Just after Thanksgiving, Mom texted me, asking that I come straight home after work. The house felt different when I walked in. It hit me in the chest. There was anger, sadness, but relief. So much relief. It had to be a pack thing. I'd never felt the emotions in the house before. I wasn't a wolf, but I wasn't just human either. I was something more. It almost felt like seeing colors. The anger was violet, heavy and cloying. The sadness was a flickering blue. It vibrated along the edges of the violet. The relief was green, and I wondered if that was what Elizabeth felt in her green phase. Relief. Mom was at the table. Her face was dry, but her eyes red-rimmed. She'd cried. But it had passed, and I knew I wasn't completely normal anymore, when I somehow knew exactly what she was going to say before she said it. But I allowed her to say it anyway. I owed it to her.
Ox, she said, I need you to listen, okay?
And so I said, yeah, sure. and put my hand over hers. It dwarfed hers completely, and I loved this tiny little woman.
"We have each other," she said.
"I know."
"We're strong."
"We are," I smiled.
"Your father died," she said. "He was drunk, got behind the wheel, went into a tree."
So I said, "Okay," even as my chest tightened.
"I'm here," she said. "I'm always going to be here."
We both chose to ignore the lie, because no one could promise that.
"Where?" I asked.
"Nevada."
Didn't get very far, did he?
"No,"
she said.
"I don't suppose he did."
"Are you okay?" I asked, reaching out to brush my thumb over her cheek. She nodded, then shrugged. Her face stuttered a bit, and she looked away. I waited until she could go on.
"I loved him," she said finally, "for a long time."
"Me too. I still did. She might not have, but I still did."
"He was kind. For a while. A good man."
"Yeah."
"He loved you."
"Yeah."
"Just us now."
And I said, "No, it's not." She looked back at me.
"What do you mean?"
A tear fell on her cheek. "There's more," I said, and I was shaking. She was worried.
"Ox, what's wrong?"
"We're not alone. We have the Bennets. Gordo, they're..."
"Ox?"
I took a deep breath and let it out slowly. I couldn't let her think we were alone. Not anymore. Not when we didn't have to be. "I'm going to show you something. You have to trust me. I will never let anything hurt you. I will always protect you. I will keep you safe." She was crying now.
"Ox."
"Do you trust me?" I asked.
"Yes. Yeah, yes, of course."
It was broken up with tiny little gasps. "We never needed him. We survived."
"Did we? Did we?"
I took her by the hand, pulled her up, wrapped my arms around her shoulders, led her to the front door. It was cold outside, so I kept close. I was warmer than she was. "Don't be afraid," I told her. "Don't ever be afraid." She looked up at me, so many questions in her eyes. So I looked up at the night sky, my head tilting back, and I sang. It wasn't as good as the wolves. It never would be, because regardless of what I was closer to human than anything else. Thomas had told me as much when he'd taught me deep in the woods. But it was strong, that howl, even when my voice cracked. I put everything I could into it. My violet anger, my blue sadness, my green relief, my fucking green relief that he was gone, 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 and I never had to wonder about him again. There would be no more what-ifs. There would be no more whys. There would be no more suffering because we were not alone. My father had said I was gonna get shit, but fuck him. God damn him. I loved him so much. I put it all in that song. And even before the echo had died through the trees, there came an answering howl from the house at the end of the lane. Joe. And then another. Carter. And Kelly. And Mark. And Elizabeth. Thomas was the loudest of all. The call of the Alpha. They heard my song and sang me one in return.
"Oh my God,"
my mother whispered and pressed closer against me. There was a crash in the distance, the pounding of paws and claws on frost-covered leaves. Violet was anger. Blue was sadness. Green was relief. And through the trees came the flashes of orange, the flicker of red, the colors of familiarity and family and home. I could hear them in me, and they said, "We're here, brother, son, friend, love. We're here, and we are pack, and yours, and nothing will change that." My mother whimpered at my side, holding me tightly. She was trembling.
I said, "They would never hurt you." She said, "How do you know?"
She sounded rather breathless. "Because we're pack."
I pulled away from her, shushing her gently as she tried to hold me back.
"It's okay," I said. "It's okay."
I never looked away from her. I walked backward down the porch steps, slow so I didn't slip on the ice. My breath fanned out around me in puffs of white. It was cold. But the moment I stepped foot on the frozen ground, I was surrounded by warmth. The wolves brushed up against me, yipping excitedly, nipping at my fingers and hands and arms. Joe jumped up on his hind legs, paws on my shoulders. He licked my face, and I laughed and laughed. Thomas sat back, waiting. Eventually, he gave a low growl. The others stopped moving around me and moved aside. When he rose to his feet, I heard my mother gasp. His steps were slow and deliberate. He came up beside me and laid his head on my shoulder, wrapping his neck around mine, his nose running along my skin and hair. A rumble came from his chest, quiet and pleased. It was the first time I'd called them on my own. He was proud of me. I was 7 months away from being 18 years old, but I still must not have been a man, because I had to blink the tears away. "My father died," I whispered to him. Joe whined, but didn't come closer. "She thinks we're alone." The rumble in his chest grew louder, and through the bonds that stretched between us all, I heard, "Hush. No, never alone. Here. We're here. Don't cry, Sunpack. Don't cry. Never alone." I put my hands in his fur and held on tight. He allowed me the moments to grieve, because he knew all I needed were moments. They passed, as these things often do. He licked the tears from my cheeks, and I laughed quietly. He put his forehead against mine, and I said, "Okay. I'm okay now. Thank you." Thomas turned toward my mother. She let out a small, choked noise and took a step back, shivering. I said, "It's okay." She said, "This is a dream." And I said, "No." "Ox," she cried, "what is this?" Thomas stood in front of her, bowing his head. He pressed his nose against her forehead, and she said, "Oh."
Chapter 11. Fight for me. Family is everything. My mother said, "What a strange world we live in." And then she laughed. And then she cried. The pack huddled around her until the sun came up the next morning. The days moved on. "Mom knows," I said. Gordo closed his eyes. I could feel the bond between us as he fought to control his anger. Violet with tinges of blue, mixed in was gold, and I pushed at it until I realized it was jealousy. The sharp colors faded as he let out his breath. "It's your pack," he said, face blank and voice indifferent. My own Violet pulsed. "Dad died. Blue, blue, blue. Ox, I'm so sorry." And then his arms were around me, and I was his tether, and I thought he might have been part of mine. Shortly before my birthday, Jessie kissed me in my room. She pressed herself up against me until I took a step back, my legs hitting my bed. I sat down. She straddled my lap. I laughed quietly and thought about the full moon that night. Mom was going to go with us for the first time, just to see. Jessie said, "I think we should break up." I said, "Okay." Silence. She pushed herself off of me and stood.
"Ox."
Her eyes narrowed. "What?"
"That's it? That's all you have to say?"
I was confused.
"You said it."
She rolled her eyes.
"You're supposed to fight for me."
"Oh."
"Ox."
"What?"
Do you want to fight for me?
Jesse, I said, why are you doing this? I reached out for our bond to see what her colors were, but then I remembered there wasn't any bond at all, and I felt a little sad. She paced in front of me.
You're never here anymore.
Here? I'm always here. This is my house, my room.
No, here. Like you and me. If I get to see you. If you remember to call me back. If you remember to text me. If, because you're always distracted. You're always gone. It's like you're fucking vacant and somewhere else, and I don't deserve that. Ox, I don't.
She was right. She didn't. I told her so.
Then fix it,
she said. And I said, I can't. She heard what I meant. I won't. She took a step back away from me, and I wondered what she saw when she looked at me. If I had changed. If I had become something different. Some days, I still felt like the same old ox. Other days, I felt like howling a song to shake the trees.
Why?
She asked. Look, Jesse, I said. My voice was even, but I felt my heart crack just a sliver. I have things to do. I was never good with words, and they were failing me now. I struggled and latched on to the first thing that came to mind. Priorities. I have priorities.
And I'm not one of them,
she said. No, I said, because that wasn't right. You are. But that wasn't right either. It was an awful feeling. Shit, I muttered.
I love you, Ox,
Jesse said.
Can't you see that?
I could. And I loved her too, in my own way. You're leaving, I said instead, in a few months, across the country for school.
Yeah, I am. And we were going to try.
Maybe we shouldn't. She shook her head.
Why?
Because I can't give you what you need. And it's not fair.
It's because of Joe, isn't it? It's because of that little shit.
I stood, quickly. I said, don't. Her eyes went wide. Her lip quivered. And she said,
I'm sorry. That's not... I don't know why I said that.
This is between us, I said. You leave him out of this. Eventually, she left.
I can smell it, Joe said quietly.
We sat on the porch and watched the sun.
You're sad.
I said, yeah, because I was.
Do you want to talk about it?
I shook my head. Not yet. He laid his head on my shoulder and said,
okay.
Later, after the sun had set and the stars came out in the sky, he said,
I won't ever leave you.
Chris said, you bastard, Jesse's heartbroken, fuck you, Ox. Gordo called him an asshole. Tanner said love was hard. Rico said I was a heartbreaker. Chris didn't talk to me for 3 days. On the fourth day, he came up to me, looking nervous. I couldn't stand that, so I hugged him. He hugged me back. He said, I missed you. I'm an ass. You forgive me? I said, sure. And he grinned and bought me a sandwich at the diner. He didn't say anything about Jesse, but neither did I. I turned 18. Thomas didn't ask if I wanted the bite. I didn't ask him to give it to me. Green Creek was small. Our graduating class only had 34 people in it. But you would have thought the crowd numbered in the thousands by the way we all yelled when Carter walked across the stage. He grinned and winked as he accepted his diploma. Later, they said, Oxnard Matheson, and the roar that followed knocked the breath from my chest. The Bennetts, my mom, Gordo and the guys, they screamed and howled. You would have thought I'd accomplished the greatest thing known to mankind. I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting that. It hurt, but in a good way. Sometimes, pain can be good. Carter said, I won't be going far. Eugene's only a couple hours away.
Won't be too bad, Kelly said.
We'll see each other all the time, Joe said. I said, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, they sighed.
We lay on the grass watching the stars above us. We were all angles and parallels, stretched out and touching in some way. Joe had his head on my chest, his legs stretching away from me. Carter's heavy legs were draped across mine. Kelly had his head on my shoulder. I felt warm and safe and sad.
It'll be okay, Carter said. I promise.
What if you don't come back? Joe asked in a small voice. I rubbed my hands through his hair.
I will, Carter said. You're going to be my alpha. Of course I'll come back for you. And for Kelly and Ox. We're a pack. One day you'll lead us.
But I don't know how, Joe said. I don't think I'm going to be very good at it.
You'll be the best, I told him. The best alpha who ever lived.
He preened, and Carter and Kelly laughed. They thought I was joking around. Silly old Ox. But I believed that with all my heart.
Thomas took Joe into the forest sometimes. They stayed away for hours. I never asked what they talked about or what they did, because I figured it was between the two of them. It was none of my business. Until Thomas said otherwise. He sent for me in the middle of summer. Carter showed up at the garage, eyes bright with something I couldn't quite place. He looked like live wires arced underneath his skin. If I didn't know any better, I would have thought he was losing control.
Poppy, Rico called out. Lover boy is here.
Take a break. 10 minutes should be enough to get off. Chris and Tanner whistled and hollered at me as I rolled my eyes. Gordo stood in the doorway to his office, arms across his chest, eyes tracking me as I walked through the garage. This was different, and he knew it too. He wasn't pack, but he could feel it. And the wolves never came here. The wards kept them out. Gordo was a dick, but I didn't know his story. Not completely. I tried not to blame him. And there Carter stood, jittery, eyes flashing orange. I asked, is everything okay? And he said,
the Alpha wants you tonight,
in a voice filled with gravel, like his wolf was bursting out of his throat. I wanted to ask why and question everything, but I knew better. This was a message. I wrapped my arms around Carter instead, and he whined at the back of his throat, his nose in the crook of my neck. Eventually, he stopped trembling.
Okay?
I whispered in his ear. He nodded and pulled away.
I'll hang around, he said in his normal voice. Give you a ride home.
I went back inside the garage.
What was that? Gordo asked.
I said, pack business, and got back to work. Carter didn't say much on the drive back home, just little things about college and girls. And so I said something I'd been thinking for a long while.
This guy came into work. I thought he was attractive. I check out guys sometimes.
It came out fast, because that was the first time I'd said it aloud. It felt like relief and terror. Carter didn't say anything for a minute. And then he said,
oh, okay. Did you lick his balls?
I laughed so hard that I thought I would die. Carter was laughing right along with me. He said,
you know I don't give a shit, right? Like, of all the things in the world to freak out about, that's one of the least.
I said, yeah, Carter, I know. My heart was pounding.
Hey, calm down, Ox.
Stupid werewolves.
I will. Am I the first you told?
Yeah. He grinned.
I popped your gay cherry.
He frowned.
Wait. Oh my god. That's not what I meant. Oh my god. I popped your coming out cherry.
He grimaced as he stopped for a red light.
That didn't sound any better. Oh my god. Have you kissed a guy yet?
I blushed.
No.
Before I could even react, he leaned over and planted a hard kiss on my lips, pulling away with a loud smack.
Now you have.
Oh my god. You sound way too much like Joe.
That was like kissing my brother, I said.
Fuck you, Oxnard, he said with an easy grin. You're lucky I'm straight. I would have hit that a long time ago.
He sniffed the air and had the audacity to look offended.
Seriously? You're not aroused? At all?
My life, I groaned. I must be doing it wrong.
That must be it.
You still like girls?
I shrugged.
Think so?
He punched me in the arm.
Greedy.
I laughed.
It'll make things easier, though, he said.
And I thought, what?
What things?
He shrugged.
The future, and all that comes with it.
And that was all he would say until we got to the house at the end of the lane. Thomas and Joe were waiting for us.
It'll be okay, Ox, Carter said, before he went inside.
Ox, Thomas said warmly.
Thank you for coming.
I smiled back a bit nervously. I knew he could smell it on me. Werewolves were like that. So he said,
there's nothing to be worried about.
And I said, okay. Joe took my hand and rubbed his forehead on my shoulder. He was getting tall. Almost 13 years old, and he was sprouting like a weed. I told him as much, and he grinned blindingly at me. Thomas walked into the woods without another word. Joe tugged on my hand, and we followed. I followed their example and didn't speak. Eventually, we reached the clearing in the woods. Joe dropped my hand and went to stand by his father. Without a word, they sat down on the grass, crossing their legs, facing each other. Thomas said,
Joe, what does it mean to be an alpha?
It means protecting others at all cost.
Even at the expense of your life?
Yes, pack is more important than anything else.
And man, did I want to step in and say something. But I kept my mouth shut.
Thomas glanced at me briefly, a look of warning on his face. But he smiled quietly to let me know he understood.
And why is pack more important?
Because pack is family, Joe said. And family is everything.
Ox, Thomas said. Sit with us.
And I did. I was unsure of my place here. Unsure of why I'd been invited along. Unsure of what to say. So I did what I did best, and said nothing at all. And neither did Thomas or Joe. They sat there, watching the leaves and the trees, hands trailing through the grass beneath, and everything was green. Green like the wings of the dragonfly I saw on the day Joe and I first met. Green like Elizabeth's phase when we first met. Green like Gordo's earth magic, sharp and pungent. Green like relief. Like so much fucking relief that I was overwhelmed by it all. I was. Because I was sitting next to an alpha werewolf and a future alpha werewolf, and I belonged with them. To them. And they belonged to me. The bonds were there. Between us. The bond to my alpha. The bond to my Joe. We stayed there for hours and didn't say a word. From that point on, I went with them more often than not. Sometimes we sat. Sometimes I watched as Thomas and Joe trained one-on-one, claws flying, fangs bared. I asked Thomas again, what is all this for?
What?
The fighting. The claws, the teeth, training. All of it. He said,
so when the time comes, we'll be able to protect our territory.
From who? He shrugged.
Everyone.
Thomas, I started. But then I stopped, because I wasn't sure of what I wanted. He waited, like he always did. I want the bite. I thought to say it. I really did. I opened my mouth to say just that, but I couldn't get the words out. I couldn't make it so. He knew. Of course he knew.
I'll be here, he said, if and when you're ready. If not me, then Joe.
He's going to be great, you know, I said quietly, because of what you've taught him. Thomas smiled.
It was a rare thing, and it made me feel good to see it. An alpha is only as strong as his pack. I asked him one day when Joe would become the alpha. He said it would be when the time was right. I asked him what would happen to him then. He said he would serve as his son's beta. I asked him what it would feel like to give up all that came with being an alpha. He said it would feel green. I didn't ask him how he knew. Sometimes Thomas sent just me and Joe out to the clearing. Sometimes we talked. Sometimes we didn't say anything at all. He said it was for the bond between us. Sometimes I thought they were keeping things from me. It was just a feeling I had. Chapter 12. Ground You Walk On. The Fallen King. She was in the kitchen, singing along with her radio, when I said, "Mom, can I talk to you?" She looked over her shoulder as she stirred a saucepan on the stove. She smiled and said, "Hi, baby." And I almost turned and ran out of the room. I was 18 years old, and I was scared of my mother. She must have seen something on my face, because she turned down the heat on the stove and turned. She reached out and touched my arm. "Okay?" I shook my head. Maybe. I think so. Possibly. She waited. I loved her. And she loved me. So I said, "I'm pretty sure I like girls." She said, "Okay." And so I said, "And guys?" My palms were sweaty. "Okay. Like, you know." Her eyes widened slightly. "Oh, that's..." She squinted at me. "Equally?" "What?" "You like girls and guys? Equally? Or one more than the other?" I shrugged. "Maybe the same? I can't say for sure because I've never done anything with a guy." I winced. I really wish I hadn't said that. She blushed. "Well, you're 18. You can, you know, do that as an adult." "Oh, God," I groaned. No, it's okay." She sounded nervous. You always hear that parents just know these things about their kids." "I didn't know." She frowned. "Does that make me a bad mom?"
No, nope. You're great at the mom thing." She sighed.
"Ox."
"Yeah?"
"I don't care about stuff like that."
"What stuff?"
"If you're gay or whatever."
"Bisexual," I said, as if that would make it any better.
"Bisexual," she said. "Okay."
"This is awkward."
"Is it?"
"Isn't it?"
"You look scared," she said.
I looked down at the floor. "I didn't want to make you mad," I managed to get out. And then her arms were around my waist, and her head was against my chest. I put my forehead on her shoulder and hugged her back.
"I could never be mad at you for being who you are," she said quietly. "And I'm sorry if I ever made you think that."
"So, it's not weird or anything?" She laughed.
"Ox, you are part of a pack of werewolves, and you're asking me if something like this is weird."
"You're pack too," I said quickly. And she was, to an extent. Ever since that moment when Thomas had touched her head, and she'd become aware of just how strange the world could be, she'd been pack. It had taken her weeks to accept what she'd seen, and maybe a little longer to believe it down to her bones. Kelly told me that for a long while, she'd stunk of fear any time she'd come into contact with the Bennets. I told him not to take it personally, and he just laughed and put his arm around my shoulders and said that of course they wouldn't. She didn't come with us on full moons most times, but Thomas had insisted that she train like the rest of us when she could. At first, she was quiet and awkward. At first, she did little. I don't know what changed. Maybe it was when Thomas took her on a walk through the forest and spoke with her about things I never asked about after. Maybe it was when Elizabeth took her to lunch and they drank peach wine and giggled like little girls. Maybe it was me and how she saw I needed this. Needed them.
I didn't know what caused the change, but one day, she came with her eyes flashing, her hair pulled back in a tight ponytail, and she managed to sweep my legs out from underneath me. I was dazed, looking up at the clouds through the trees, and she just laughed. God, I loved that woman, more than anything. Which is why I was so scared of disappointing her, with something so stupid as sex.
Is there, you know, she looked up at me, anyone special?
I shook my head. Not since Jesse.
Not a lot of pickings around here. You'll meet someone, she said, suddenly fierce. You'll see. A girl or a boy, and they'll worship the ground you walk on, because you deserve to be treasured. And I'll be there to say I told you so because you've earned it. If anyone in this world has earned it, it's you.
Carter went to college. I found a rare weekend to go visit him. Kelly and Joe wanted to go, but they had homework, and Elizabeth put her foot down. Carter was okay with that. He had a dorm room to himself. He introduced me to a few people, but I forgot their names almost immediately, because it had been weeks since I'd seen my friend. He must have felt the same, because he made the people leave, and we lay on the floor, his head on my legs, and he said, "You smell like home." We stayed there until the sun went down. He took me to some club and got us in. I didn't know how. He said it was probably because we were bigger than everyone else. The music was loud. The lights were flashing. I didn't know how he could stand it, given that all his senses were heightened. I could smell booze and sweat and the cloying, sticky perfume of a woman who came out of nowhere and rubbed herself against me before she disappeared back into the crowd. Carter just laughed. He said, "Here," and handed me a glass of something. I drank it. It was fruity, and it burned. He did too, but alcohol did nothing to wolves, unless they drank enough to kill a normal human. He'd once told me that he just liked the taste. He wondered what it'd be like to be drunk. I wondered what it'd be like to feel the pull of the moon. I saw the glint of orange in his eyes. It was hot in the club, sticky and moist. One moment, I was laughing as two women came and sandwiched him on the dance floor, and the next, there were pretty green eyes in front of me, pale skin, a wicked smile with a hint of teeth. He said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Ox." "Ox, that's unique." I grinned because I felt good. "I guess. Who are you?" My limbs were loose. The bass crawled along my skin. He said, "Eric," and, "You want to dance?" "I'm not very good. I'm too big." That wicked smile curved even farther. "That right?" He pulled me by the hand and led me through the crowd. Carter caught my eye and asked a question that only I could hear, and I shrugged and turned away. Eric pressed himself against me, a long line of sweat and flesh. There was a roll of his hips against mine, and I said, "Wow." He laughed. The song changed, and I felt lips against my neck, a quick flick of a tongue. Later, I was in a bathroom stall. Eric was on his knees. My dick was in his mouth, my head back against warm ceramic tile that shook with the beat of the music. My fingers were in his hair, and everything was hot and wet. I grunted a warning, and he backed away, jacking me until I came on the dirty floor. He stood up and kissed me while he jerked himself off. He sighed into my mouth. He tasted like stale beer and mint. He came in his hand. I felt raw.
"Thanks," he said, zipping up his pants. "That was great."
"Sure," I said, because I was unsure of what else to say. "You too." And then he left. I stood in the bathroom for a while, but it smelled of piss. And my head hurt. I couldn't find Carter, and I tried to find that thread, that thing inside that said bond, pack, brother, but I was overwhelmed by everything, and so I said, "Carter, Carter, Carter," and for a moment nothing happened, and then he was in front of me, eyes narrowed, hands on my arms, looking me up and down, trying to find where I'd been injured. His nostrils flared, and he said, "Was it consensual?" And I blushed and looked away. It took a moment, but I nodded. His arm went around my shoulder and he chuckled near my ear, his forehead pressed against my hair. "You dog," he said. "Says the werewolf." He growled near my ear. "Was it good?" "Shut up." "Was it awesome?" "Shut up, Carter." "Did you swoon?" "Oh, for fuck's sake." "Look at you," he said, "getting blowies in public. My little ox is all grown up." "Bigger than you," I muttered, and he just laughed and laughed. He pulled me away. It wasn't until we got out onto the street that I saw the lipstick smeared across his lips, across his neck. I told him he was a whore. He snarled, and I ran. He chased me, orange eyes flashing happily. He pretended to let me win. We slept in the same bed, curled around each other, because we were pack, and I knew he missed home. I showered for a very long time before I left the next morning. When I got back, Joe asked, "Have fun?" And I said, "Sure, Joe," but it felt like a lie. Nick happened a year later. He came into Gordo's all dusty from the road. The clutch on his bike had blown out a few miles outside of Green Creek. He stayed for a week. I fucked him on the last 3 days he was in town. He left, and I never saw him again. Joe was 14, and he didn't talk to me for 3 weeks after that. Said he was busy. Finals were coming up and he had to study. "Sure," I said, trying not to worry at the strain in his voice. "You okay?"
"Yeah, Ox," he sighed into the phone. "I'm okay."
I almost believed him. I had just turned 22 when Monsters came to town. For all Gordo's warnings about how big and scary the world could be, for all Thomas's notions of a territory protected, nothing had ever happened. No one came. Nothing attacked. I never asked questions about other packs or what else existed if werewolves were real. I lived in a bubble, in a small town in the middle of the mountains, and I thought, that's where I'd always be. Everything was good. Everything was fine. Carter had just graduated and moved back to work with his father. Kelly was taking online courses, so he didn't have to leave the pack. Joe was 16 and still waited for me on the dirt road almost every day. Gordo was thinking of opening another shop in the next town over. Mom smiled when she ran with the wolves at night. Jesse moved back to Green Creek and was a teacher at the school. Tanner, Rico, and Chris took me out for beers, and we ate our weight in buffalo wings. Mark was close to telling me about him and Gordo. Elizabeth was painting in pinks and yellows. Thomas smiled out to the trees, a king content with his domain. I should have asked more questions about what was out there, about what they could want, but I was naive, and dangerously so. I was walking toward the diner for lunch. I rubbed the grease from my fingernails. My hands were calloused, signs of hard work. I marveled at how I had a place here, in Green Creek. My father had said I was going to get shit, but he was dead, and I had a place. Friends, family. I had people. I was something. I was somebody. It was a bright June day, and I was alive and happy. And then a woman said, "Well, hello."